SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 2 hours you've all been waiting for is finally here.
I had to jump in, man. The streets are hot. I had to jump in here quick.
I mean, the streets are so hot.
Moneyline, with the dynamic duo of Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh.
But you usually have some plans when you're rocking solo.
Really, dude? Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
All right, let me just start with this. How good is the NBA then right now? How good is the NBA play postseason right now?
It's so
fun. Delivering? Is it not delivering every night?
And I woke up again in the middle of the night to see that score and go, oh my goodness. And then when I saw the highlights of how it ended, wow, exactly.
Insanity. Insanity. I mean, the fact that none of them covered.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Get ready for some insanity here in hour number two. It's Moneyline, Donnie Wrightside here, Kevin Walsh. We're here with you. Phone line certainly are open, 844-843-6879. Let's have some fun here and get after it. Right off the bat here, Chris from Austin calling in, letting us know what the good word is. What's up there, Chris? Talk to us.
Oh, man, DRS, Kev, what's going on this afternoon, you guys?
Yeah. Feeling it, man.
Kev, I'll ride with you this weekend with betting above the rim with Coach Young this weekend. But, yeah, man, I was just telling you, you know, quick on that. DeAndre Hopkins, right? For me, see, I think his best fit probably would be Baltimore, right? And you know, you got the rookie receiver there. He can learn from a former all-pro wide receiver. You know, OBJ, who knows what they're going to get out of him. And you combine that with Andrews, man, that's something to consider if I was DeAndre Hopkins and his people. I'd consider Baltimore, you know, Buffalo with Diggs. I think Kev was talking about that. And then the other teams have been, they've got number one. I think he'd be the number one there in Baltimore, you know. So I don't know what you got. What do you think about that?
There you go, KJ.
Yeah, Baltimore makes a lot of sense, man. The Ravens are a team that they need to continue to try and build around Lamar because they've not given him enough weapons. So there's no such thing as giving Lamar too many weapons, especially if, you know, they're going to try and cut back on all his running, Chris, like we're hearing.
Yeah, he said that in that press conference, didn't he? Let's go to baseball, man. So, hey, you guys, either football, basketball, baseball, you know, there's normally like an afternoon and then an evening, like the afternoon NFL and then the morning NFL. Man, yesterday swept the baseball board in the afternoon game. St. Louis under at the over in Washington, the over in Colorado, and at the Rays on the money line. But the evening, you lose on the over in the hockey game, you lose on Vegas, and you lose on the Celtics, man. Yeah, right? So you give up all your – I don't know what to make of this series. We had talked the other day, and you were saying Saturday it may be the day to jump on the Heat. I don't know, man. You were talking about, like, the Ranger game. Come at it from a different angle. I came at it with some props last night, and those came through. Devin White, man, he was some plus money for, what, 2.5, I think it was? And I hit that. Yeah, and, of course, the Caleb Martin one was 1.5. That's an auto bet. Even at 155, that's an auto bet. So that kind of helped. I just don't know what to make of the series right now, man. I don't know what to make of the series. And on today's call, you were talking about that Oreo game and the Rangers. It's hard to put money against the Orioles. I don't never feel comfortable betting against that team, especially at home. Maybe the over's the look there. And Detroit with. See, the White Sox burned a dime for me yesterday. I had all those picks from the afternoon, and, of course, I had the White Sox on the parlay to finish off with 25, paid a dime. And so I like the way Detroit's playing. I know Wentz is struggling and he has that high ERA.
Yes.
But I don't know. I just can't put any money behind Chicago. And there was a couple of other dogs, I think the Nationals. Let me look. No, Detroit, yep. I don't want to take up you guys' time because I don't have my card out in front of me. But it was a couple of plays, like you were saying, Donnie, that I think I like this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Next
yeah.
too.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff. Over. By the way, after Lance Lynn, high ERA over the last 30 days, but he actually has a good XFIP minus number. It should be interesting to see that way it plays out. But a lot of good stuff there on the board. So a holiday weekend here, Kevin, that we're looking forward to. And certainly Chris and Austin as well. Locked in, loaded, and ready to go. Yeah.
Some people saying it's already played out. I mean, that's just the way these things
are. So, see the future. See it.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, here's the best thing I can say about Chris. Smart, sensible, and fashionable. That's my guy right there. Yep. That's it. That's how you get branded now. Now, see, I have to start something. Like, let's just say when a team total comes across the board, winner, whatever team it was, smart, sensible, and fashionable.
No, because here's why. When you give out baseball picks, there's like actually like well thought out, researched and reasoned behind it. And
it's just no better in like hockey or basketball. It's better that way.
Or basically, seemingly anything else you do other than baseball, you can then rip your smart, sensible. And
because here's the best part about it. Like basketball. Like I like the NBA. I like college basketball. And I know the numbers, but I think it just plays way better the way I break down basketball as opposed to like baseball or football. It just fits. Like Donnie, give me a quick answer. Like why do you like he's tall, man. He's getting boards. Let's go. Move on. We'll get those rebounds, right? And again, don't forget people out there, I'm the one who told you that Jaylen Brown actually is a really good athlete, get rebounds out there in these streets. That's what we provide here on Moneyline. That's what we do in hour number two. Don't you go anywhere. Keep it right here, Sirius XM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two in full effect here, having some fun on Moneyline. Donnie, Kevin here, Sports Grid Network. That's what we do. By the way, I got some nice topics here to talk about in hour number two, including an auction and why things were getting auctioned off, Kevin. We'll get to that in just a few moments, but the phone line's heating up here, 844-843-6879. Gary in Texas. There he is, calling in. What's good, Gary?
Oh, nothing much. Got a double shot working here from Texas. I was calling to mention a little bit about basketball, then get a little baseball with you. I want to mention about, of course, the Boston series. A lot of people make a big deal about the 150-0, but how many of those 150 involve the one seed playing the four and the one seed up 3-0, one seed versus the eight? This is the eight seed that was 3-0. I mean, it's definitely a whole lot bigger chance that it can happen than any other time, because I'm not too sure how many other eight seeds have been up 3-0. In basketball, anyway.
Yeah, it's a good point.
No, it's vicious.
And you
totally
mentioned yesterday about, you didn't like the... Oh, you didn't like how it was, Boston, I guess, plus 200 for the series. Well, keep in mind, they had to factor in the money lines for the games. In Game 5, the money line was minus 330. In game 7, that's what it'll be as well. And then today, what's it like, minus 140 or 150 for Boston? So if you add all that together, that's about 2-1. And so that's kind of where they get those numbers.
So
if they made it too much, then people wouldn't bet it that way.
My point is all those money lines on the games I think are wrong. I get the point you're making. The reason I disagree with the series
logically,
prices is I think they're consistently booking this team far too strong.
Oh, yeah, I understand. And I thought Miami plus 8 would definitely be good. But I want to mention a little bit about baseball. I wish when you mentioned about, Patrick Corbin, do you realize in his last 8 starts he's actually been pretty good?
He's been
he really hasn't been giving up more than like 2 earned runs. And he's playing Jordan Lyles. Because, I already bet today Washington first 5. And, it was like a pick 'em pretty much. Because Jordan Lyles is horrendous. And Kansas City doesn't really hit very well. So, I wouldn't necessarily bet against Corbin today. You can bet against him other times. But had you done that in the last 5 starts, you weren't doing very well.
No, it's a good point because the narrative there is that he's a really bad pitcher. Not the case anymore. And by the way, I'm glad you brought that up, too, because you sneak this one in. Candelario to get an RBI. Decent little shot here from the Washington Nationals. But I always like to see that, too, because when the first thing pops up out of your mind, Patrick Corbin, oh, yeah, we're going to fade that.
Yeah,
that's going to be a wrap here at this point. Now, granted, Kansas City is a terrible team, but that just lets you know, like, the Washington Nationals are on the road in about a pick 'em here, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, you got to be... You got to be careful with narratives, I think is the best way to put it, right? You got to be careful. We talk about it too, especially when it's early season, because a bad April, if we're still in May, and if you had a really bad April, your ERA is going to look horrible no matter how good your May has been. And again, you have numbers, DRS, obviously, that can kind of sift through all of that. And it's why, you know, we constantly, you know, lean on you for the baseball breakdowns there. But even the folks that are using those raw numbers, what's May been? What's the last three starts been? You got to be cautious with these things. We saw it a little bit. We mentioned with Chris Sale's numbers.
Yeah, because now we're at the point where we're tweaking. Like, sometimes you would want to say to yourself, because a rolling 30-day on a batter makes a lot of sense. Because you can go through ebbs and flows in baseball. You want to catch the top end of the mountain. Okay, if a guy was lighting it up the first 2 weeks of April, he technically might have decent statistics now in late May. And that's not the case. But for pitchers, like, we're just talking about Jordan Lyles. For a Friday card, he's the worst pitcher on the card.
Which obviously is wild, but let me just add, because like the Tampa Bay Rays offense is probably never going to look statistically, right? Surface level. Well, come on, I mean, Rays team total. How do you not, right? But that's why with you going for last 30 days, and again, yes. I'm sure they've still been great over the last 30 days, right? But you'll be able to, I guess, maybe DRS, see that drop off before some other people will be able to see that drop off, is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, it's a good point you make, because let's just keep it simple. Batting average, right? You show up to the ballpark in late August, and Paul Goldschmidt's hitting .315. Man, he's having a great season. He might be 1-for-25. And you're saying, so like, hold on now. How'd he go 0-for-4 tonight? He's hitting .315. Well, .315 is based on a lot of damage done earlier in the season. Or the same way you show up at a ballpark and go, hey, Kyle Schwarber, 182. He's on fire. What do you mean he's on fire? He's hitting 182.
Uh-huh.
12 for his last 25, because he went through an 0-for-34 stretch back in the middle of May. It's a good point that you bring up there, because things do change and narratives change. And the pitchers, it's a lot of, hey, look at the first two games of the season. March 31st and April 7th, man, 14 innings, no earned runs. Well, what's he doing his last six? Well, he's getting crushed. Oh, well, why is his statistics still decent here? Well, because he had 14 innings and no earned runs to start the season. So obviously a very good take there, where you start to now tweak the numbers, and that's where it gets, I don't want to say dangerous. This is where, when you try to trust your numbers, you have to take liberties sometimes. Like, oh, this team's really good, or this team's really bad, which is why you bring up the Grayson Rodriguez point, when you say to yourself, boy, they really should light him up. And you go, now, hold on. Why are these numbers? Because, again, sports books aren't dumb. That's why there's casinos all over the place. They make money because they usually have the edge. And you say, ooh, if my favorite team today, who's probably the team that's leading Major League Baseball in runs, is the Rangers, 3.5. Like, who are they facing? Scherzer from, like, 2016? Or Jacob deGrom from 2016? No. It just makes some sense that Rodriguez has bounced back just a little bit, and his analytics are a little off because he's a little bit unlucky. Granted, I still do think Texas probably will score some runs, but that's the way it is. Let's take a look at this real quick, Kevin. I saw this headline. The Dream Team Auction. Now, 1992, Kevin, not too sure you were around, correct? You weren't around in 92, safe to say?
I was not.
You know?
I was
not. You weren't around. Now, I was in eighth grade in 1992. There was no bigger deal in sports that I ever remember as a kid of Team USA in the first year that they were allowed to play in the Olympics and not the college kids. That Dream Team was something that we were watching, Kevin, like where they had, I think their first game would have been like in Portland. It wasn't even the Olympics. It was like the ramp up where, you know, they get together and it was breaking records. And everybody in class or whoever, like we were all centered around the TV on the weekend just to get a glimpse of this. And of course, they went to the Olympics, rock stars all the way through, blasted everybody. But Karl Malone, get this, I mean, he's played in the NBA for a long, long time, selling pieces of the memorabilia. You say, well, what do you mean? Did he, like, go to Jordan's house and, like, take a jersey and, like, take it home with him? I'm like, no. Back in the day, it wasn't as big of a deal. Hey, you know what? Hey, Michael, sign this USA basketball jersey that you just played against Lithuania in. And, you know, I just want it for my collection. I'm going to hang it on my, you know, man cave downstairs with the TVs and the pool table. Well, granted, 20 to 30 years later, a Michael Jordan signed Team USA jersey is worth a lot of money. It actually sold for $3 million. But here's what I'm asking. Here's what I'm asking. Like, it's crazy numbers that he's getting for some of these things. But, like, you know who's probably, like, when Cripple Karl Malone's like, yeah, I cashed that in. You know who's probably mad? Michael Jordan. How dare he? How dare he sign, like that? That was my jersey I signed and gave to him. He sold it and made $3 million. It's why when you see Charles Barkley interviews with Michael Jordan, the best of friends don't talk anymore because Charles kept telling him that he's terrible at owning teams and being a general manager, and they don't talk. Like, I could just imagine, like, if you're a friend of Jordan, you can do something like this, he doesn't even pick up your phone anymore.
You know what, though? I feel like MJ, now I have no idea what their relationship would be, but I feel like he'd much rather, because he could easily afford it. He's like, but you know what, Carl? If you need $3 million, I'll give you five, right? Don't sell my jersey.
Yes,
that's embarrassing, dude. Like, that's embarrassing. Like, what are you doing? Like, what is that, man? Like, I you know what I'm saying? So that is an odd one there. When you brought up the USA, I didn't know, you know, Wembanyama, DRS, stays in the news, because now the idea is Wembanyama wants to be Team USA in the next Olympics here.
Really? What is he, though?
Yeah, that was...
What nationality is he?
Do you not know?
Is he born in the United States? No, I have no idea. He plays in France. I figured
he's French.
Yeah, that's what I figure. Like, he's TLC's, like, you know, brother or something like that over there. But you said he wants to be Team USA. How's that even happen?
No, he wants to beat.
Oh, come on. Now, you know what? Next segment, we're talking Wembanyama wants to be on Team USA. Let's go. Get right back.
No!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Dream Team 1992, Kevin. Can you tell you like this? Now, the jerseys, you don't get, like, you know, 33 or 32, like what Magic Johnson would have been, or even 23. It's basically like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right? Can you guess which jersey I had from Team USA as an eighth grader? I don't think you're going to guess this.
Okay, well, hold on. So let me think here. Now, you would have not had – Let me ask this, okay? Because I want to really try and get this, okay? Were you a fan of the did you get this because you were a fan of the player, or was it a little bit more random than that? Like, it was
I was a fan of the player.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's interesting, because I know you were a fan of Charles Barkley, but you kind of telling me that basically you're giving me a hint it's not Charles Barkley.
Correct.
Right?
It was not Charles Barkley.
There's no way
it was a controversial selection for Team USA.
So that then leads me to two people, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think that you would like Christian Laettner. And I don't know if every year there had to be a college player. I'm not sure if he was on the team. So I'm going to guess St. John's finest Chris Mullin then.
No. That would be a good guess, though. It was Christian Laettner, because I was a Duke fan.
Oh, it was Christian
in that
Laettner.
Early 90s.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that at all. See, that's way big-time news to me.
I loved when they beat UNLV to end their perfect season there. And typically, like a UNLV team, because like you say, well, that's right. You know, Donnie, white kid from Birds, like Duke. Like, no, the Miami Hurricanes are my favorite team of all time. The Outlaws of college football. You would have thought I probably would have loved, and a lot of my friends. UNLV was so cool back in the day. But I was a Duke fan, and also had a lot to do with in seventh grade. My stepfather was a basketball coach. He took us to Duke and North Carolina over teacher's break, and I got to watch, like, Duke practice. Mm-hmm. And I saw Christian Laettner on campus, and it sort of built from that. And, of course, as your kid, nobody likes to root for a terrible team as a kid, because even though they're not your team and, like, hey, you know, I'm not going to root for the Eagles, I didn't learn until, like, sixth or seventh grade that I was supposed to be a really diehard Eagles fan. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be a fan of X team that was really bad. Like, no. Like, I liked a good team, and Duke was really good at the time, so I sort of glommed onto them in the early 90s.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I got Christian Laettner's jersey as an eighth grader, because that's when they were in the midst of winning those championships.
Okay, so now Leitner's inclusion, so then clue me in.
Yes.
Was it
that
every team needed a college player, or was it
no,
that
no,
the
team
idea
USA.
That he was so good he had to be on it?
No, Team USA was going to pick a college player. That was automatic for the it was almost like an easing of, hey, it was all college kids before. We can't go non like college, so you're gonna pick one.
Right.
And this guy, you know, Christian Laettner, who's the best college basketball player, maybe in history statistically at the time, it made sense. But do you know who was passed over and probably should have been on the team instead of Christian Laettner?
Well, is it a college player or is
college
it Isaiah
kid,
Thomas?
Yes. A college kid, yes. Huh. Yeah, Zay, no, that's a different one.
Yeah, that's also
I'll tell you this name. Like, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. Because there was one guy who was going to go. Laettner was sort of like, you know, the pretty boy from Duke and, you know, all the accolades. But if you wanted to actually put a player on the team that wasn't going to be like, hey, you're going to get in when you're down 35 and go get some run out there, it was Shaquille O'Neal. Shaq was coming out. It was between Shaq and Laettner. And Laettner got the nod because he did. It was rightfully so. Like, Shaq obviously was going to be the better professional basketball player and one of the best ever. But at the time, it was like, okay, who encapsulates the college basketball scene? Well, Laettner absolutely kicked everybody's tail in college and was outrageous in the biggest moments, and he got the nod. And even some of the guys from the team, they'll say, like, hey, man, look. Like, we know this guy's here, but really it's supposed to be like Shaq and all that stuff. So it was a controversial pick, but I got Laettner's jersey.
You.
And just to be a little bit different, too. It's like, hey, you know, everybody has Jordan or Charles Barkley. So I'm just going to get the Laettner jersey.
Yeah.
I wonder if I still have that.
All right.
It'd be tremendous.
Yeah, no, mixed it up a little bit there. Okay, that's funny because, yeah, that's news to me that you like Duke because usually I would think your stance would be to hate Duke. Honestly,
yes.
Like, and I feel like maybe you just missed the threshold of like being a staunch Duke hater, like where you ended up being the Duke guy. You like, you know, so that is interesting there, though. They always obviously Leitner's the guy that kind of like sticks out like a sore thumb on that kind of list there of the dream team members.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, he was on the dream team and, how'd that work out and all that stuff. By the way, Michael Block, as you're listening to the show. Not making the weekend here in golf, so just wanted to keep the people updated on that. It was really no surprise with a projected cut line of plus one, and he missed it by two touchdowns at this point. But he did play better on Friday,
Block,
Kevin. He did. He played better on Friday.
I saw the boost was Block to make the cut at 2-1. I don't know what that's boosted from, but it couldn't have been more than
was that really it? That was that. Who was FanDuel? Who was
I think that was DraftKings. I think that was one of the little opt-in gimmicks. So the same reaction. That would mean that his cut line price was probably what plus 150, right? Wouldn't you think? If that was where the boost was from, it couldn't have been much more than that. I guess the point is, which means it would have been very accessible to, I think, get his. Missed the cut price, which again the guy was 11 over after day one. I mean,
yeah,
you're dead in the water, right there. You're dead in the water when that's the number. You know, so it is interesting though. Like, I guess what did we expect from a guy that wasn't ever really supposed to be on the tour in a way.
Yeah, well, we'll see how many more tour updates that our guy Block actually has. By the way, on the memorabilia stuff, it's a massive market out here. But I never was one to, I got to go out and get this guy's autograph. Like, I've seen Eagles players and, you know, stuff in stores before, and I never went up to him. I even saw, you're like this. I saw Brian Dawkins at a golf tournament that I was playing in. It was just him on the green and me, and I didn't say hi to him. What do you think about that? Because I didn't want to bother him. I didn't want to bother him.
No,
I'm talking, Kevin, we're 10 feet away. It's not even like, hey, I got six guys around me. We're all holding the conversation. It was just me and him on a putting green. And you're talking about, this isn't like a year or two ago. This is back in like the early 2000s when he was a maniac, unbelievable, the face of the Philadelphia Eagles, Brian Dawkins. And I just left him alone.
No, because, it's funny. Here's the thing, right? If you're a self-aware individual, it is at times then difficult to kind of cross that threshold because you are aware that they are just trying to kind of go about their normal day.
Mm-hmm.
And as cool as it is for you to see them, what you don't want to do is annoy them or bother them because that would be far more disappointing in its nature. So you just kind of... it's a tough move to make, right? Like, I totally, totally understand. Like, I've seen, you see guys out like that, and it's like, I'm just going to, I'm going to let it go kind of thing. I'll give you one. You know the Impractical Jokers?
Yes, I do.
I saw them out in a park in the city, and they were doing their thing. And this was like when they were so, so popular, right? Like height of the deal. And I'm just, I was just like so starstruck. And I'm just stood there watching, right? But then I'm also kind of like, ah, like the show's going on. Like, obviously they're trying to get people. Let me not like blow the whole thing up, right? Whatever. So just kind of walked away and let it be. I actually, a couple of hours later, came back to the park. I'm obviously, their filming days are, you know, a bit longer and whatnot. And I'm like right there. I'm like, should I say something? Should I say something? And the person I was with was just go. Just go. What's the worst that happened if you ask for a photo? And they actually, like, remembered seeing me stand there watching them. And the guy, I think it was Joe, was like, hey, thanks for not blowing up our spot, man. Come in here. Let's get this photo. And it was like, which, like, so it worked out great, DRS, right? Like, that's all I kind of was looking for. But it was funny that they – and because, again, I guess for them it's common. They saw me seeing them kind of in their element doing what, like, you know, what they're, you know, always trying to do, which is, you know, fool people and what have you.
Yeah, now how about this one? So you say leaving people alone and not leaving people alone. Saw Emmett Smith while I was playing golf at the Eagles Nest Golf Course in Winona, which is no longer there. It was owned by Ron Jaworski. So he must have been random. It wasn't anything like, oh, you know, the Eagles are in town, because obviously you're not going to be golfing during the football season. It was just one of them maybe stopping by Philadelphia. Hey, Ron invited you out to the golf course here. We gave it to him on the hole next to us. So there's that. Leaving people alone and then giving it to other people here. Because back, I mean, and by the way, Emmett Smith golfing, not a great golfer at the time. I don't know if he's improved that. Kevin, quads like you wouldn't even believe in person. That's what I remember. Like, I almost wanted to say, like, hey, oh, hey, Eagles going to tear you up. And this is when the Cowboys were winning Super Bowls at this point. And then I say to myself, like, how does he fit into those khakis over there? I don't even understand. Like, it's not even possible.
couldn't even fat. I will say this, man. You know, sometimes, like, NFL players, how recognizable are they?
Yes.
I mean, my goodness. Now, I'm sure in its heyday you were able to, you know, spot him a little easier, but boy, did you crack me up at the Super Bowl. Like, man, I don't know who any of these guys are.
It's unbelievable. Man. I think it was like Justin Jefferson walking by. Like, I mean, that guy could have just been, and that guy could have been an intern Najee working Harris. For a radio station. Exactly. Yes. Who's that? Oh, that's Najee. Now, the random, you know, right. Like Kirk Warner walks by. Who's that guy? Or like Troy Aikman. Who's that? I don't know. Does that look like Aikman over there? Yeah. I mean, there, you can definitely, but just the newer superstar football player. You throw a hat on those guys and some shorts. Good luck, man. And it's not that, like, I would watch him and handicap him every week, and I'd be like, that guy looks familiar right there, and just can't put my finger on it.
But the one thing is, when you see an NBA player, you know, because it is the tallest human being your eyes have ever seen. And it's exactly. I once actually saw like Enos Kanter in person, and I'm like, what is that? What even is going on here? He's like 7 feet tall. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, this is outrageous, dude.
Now, if anybody ever wanted to see a live shot of K-Dub marking out, Tony Khan walked by where Kevin wasn't ready for him to walk by and was like, oh, my God, the biggest moment of Kevin's life. Not being at the Super Bowl, not being with DRS, but actually seeing TK walk by and get a word with the guy. Hour number two is underway. Your phone call's next. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. Exciting segment coming up. We're going to get to the calls in just a moment. But I wanted Kevin's take. This weekend, a big weekend here in the Northeast, particularly at MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands here. Did you know? People are devastated out here, Kevin. Not allowed to tailgate unless you have a ticket to the Taylor Swift concert. Your thoughts?
I didn't know that there would be an appetite to tailgate that concert without a ticket. So...
You can't stand outside, Kevin, and listen is what they're saying because of what was happening in Philadelphia. And they figure if it's going to New York, that would probably double up the ampage, where the governor actually had to come out this weekend, Kevin, and say, look, leave extra early. Get down there 7 hours early because it's going to be a madhouse. Who would think, like, it's not a Giants NFC championship game or a Jets AFC championship game. We're getting wattage out here used up on Twitter and across the radio landscape to make sure people get the word, get there early because it's going to be a madhouse this weekend.
I wonder how many people that went to Philly are also going to the Jersey show. Like, there has to be a big
crossover. The tickets are so expensive, too. Like, if you didn't get them, like, right out of the gate by the drawing, I saw the one today, like, high seats, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. Yeah.
Okay, but, like, I'm trying not to be naive here. I'm aware she's a star, okay? I really am. Has she, like, never gone on tour before or something?
No, she hasn't. It's like the same. No, this is the Eras tour. See, look at this, man. I hear a lot around the house here. This is all the albums, like, put together in one. So people are losing their mind. Like, you know, my daughter's 11 years old and was like, one of those people, like, when Taylor Swift probably comes out on stage. I wasn't there. The wife went. Probably almost, like, fainted and just couldn't believe it. Like, that's the type of level from 11-year-olds to 71-year-olds that are just losing their mind and just showing up saying, I don't have a ticket, but I can hear the music outside the stadium, and we'll all sing and dance in the parking lot as if it was an NFL game. It's wild to actually think about. Now, let's correlate this, too. Let's get to the phone lines, 844-843-6879. Moose is calling in today, and I need help on this because I know Moose has done security, but has he ever been around 80,000 Swifties that he had to put in their place from time to time here? Moose, get in here. Talk to us.
Oh, yeah. Boy, do I have some stories for you. I'm going to travel, I don't know, 18 or 19 hours. I'm going to drive, and I'm going to see Taylor Swift. Matter of fact, I'm going to get a tattoo of her on my right arm.
There you go. So, there you go. You know,
I'm
pick up K-Dub.
I'm a big fan of her, you know. Oh, boy. But, no, you know what? Looking at security, yeah, I've taken care of four or five presidential details. I personally looked after the Dalai Lama for a week. I sent JP that info.
That's awesome.
You know, I'm not kidding you. I got photos to back it up as well. And, you know, it's interesting that you're talking about autographs and meeting celebrities.
Yes.
When Denver had the NBA All-Star game, I was posted at the Lowe's Giorgio off duty, and here comes P. Diddy, here comes 50 Cent, and there was this little guy sitting up at the bar, and I go up there and I'm like, hey, you know, I'm Sergeant so and so, and he goes, hey Sergeant, nice to meet you, and he goes, you know who I am? I'm like, no, and there's these two guys stand next to him. They're about 7 foot and about 350 pounds each, you know. And he goes, hey, I am the world's greatest boxer. And I'm like, okay. I didn't follow boxing at the time. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I still don't know who you are. And he goes, I'm Money Mayweather. I'm Floyd Money Mayweather. And over the last a couple nights, and he'd be coming in, and I'd be there, and he'd be going in and out. And he's like, hey, Sarge. He'd come up to me, thank me. Well, right when they're all getting ready to leave, one of his bodyguards pulls me aside and says, hey, Floyd wants to talk to you outside. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. So I go outside, and Floyd hands me a pair of autographed boxing gloves, the red gloves. Floyd Money Mayweather Jr. I'll send JP a picture of those. But you guys are talking. You guys are talking about all the great things that are going on this weekend, and I just want to say one thing. You know, God bless for those guys that didn't make it home, our veterans. This is why we have Memorial Day weekends. You know. And then one last thing, FanDuel has a nice little boost. They got a matching $150 deposit bet boost, you know. So, K-Dub, DRS, you guys have a great weekend. We'll talk to you later. I'm out of here.
There you go. Moose checking in. Land of the free, home of the brave, which does include Moose there. So thank you for everybody with their service this weekend. And yes, that is what Memorial Day is for. We like to eat, we like to drink, we like to relax, but also remember what means to us the most here. Now look at that. Moose has been all over the place. Moose has protected a lot of people out there in these streets. But I don't know if he can handle the Swifties, man. You tell Swifty, hey, look, you got to leave the parking lot. You can't listen to the music, Kevin. I'm going to be throwing down.
Listen, I would not want to sign up for that. I'll tell you that much there. I'm glad to not be in the mix. But Christian sent us the details, first tour since 2016. So that is a good while.
Oh, okay.
Still half a decade, though. You can frame it. That's a while. Yeah. Half a decade. So let me put it in. Now, it's not apples to apples, but if AEW was having their first show in 5 years, I'd be there.
No, you wouldn't. Like, if ECW Reborn, Sabu, Sandman.
You know, I've traveled to multiple AEW shows, right?
Yeah,
like flights.
Yeah, but not the same, though. But if it's 5 years, like, you've probably given up on it. You're probably back to the WWE at that point.
Hold on, let's be honest here. Come on, you know well enough. They drop AEW first time in 5 years. Tears, I'm shaking. I'm basically a Swiftie. Come on, you know this to be
true. Now, hold on. Were you ever a WWE guy, though?
Of course, everybody was.
Yeah,
of course.
What was the change? Like, why the fracture here?
Now. Their quality dropped, and I started to. I like Japanese wrestling, because that was good wrestling, and that's where I started to like the Elite. I know that's going to be funny to you, but that's where that's where I became a massive fan of the Elite, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks. Yes, I would stay up till 7 in the morning to watch Kenny Omega, have the title matches, because that's when those would go on. And I was already a hardcore fan of the Elite before AEW existed. And then WWE, while being terrible, does their usual take shots and talk down on the upstart company. So that just creates the rivalry and disdain even more. And all the while, WWE is producing a horrendous product. And there we go. We're in AEW.
You know what I'd get a kick out of this, too, is because there's the lead dog in AEW that consistently says, "Ooh, I don't watch New Japan Wrestling." Pretty good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, listen, that's the stance there. I think he says it's dumb and it's trash, which is hilarious. And in like a month's time, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But yeah, like Kenny Omega was back in Japan, DRS. It coincides. Their big show called Wrestle Kingdom basically coincides with my birthday. So,
oh boy, it's a huge weekend.
That's how we go. Yeah, come on now. It's essentially the most important night of the year.
You'd be sitting at a meaningless soccer match and, it's... nobody out there. AEW's rumbling down the street. Oh boy!
I'll never recover. I'll never recover.
It'll be tough scene in these streets. By the way, quick question: early in the week, I think it was either Tuesday or Wednesday show. Chris from Austin called in and brought up YouTube, and I completely forgot about it. And this morning, K Dub went on, stoked it up, got the card out, fired up YouTube, not because I want YouTube TV, because I'm not getting that, but the DirecTV package moves over to YouTube for the ticket. And I fired it also. They give you $100 off if you do it before June 6th, so it makes some sense. Like, I'm usually a guy that, I don't want to get overspend for stuff. I spend for a lot of stuff, particularly in sports. But it was one of those where it's like, hey, look, so many times, I'm not going to do it until August 31st. So what? But it was it's $100 off. Might as well just get it out of the way now. So I fired it away. And it's not because I wanted to tell people, hey, make sure you get it before June 6th, which if you want to order it can save you some money. But the fact is, they actually changed one of the criteria, which I think is fantastic. They were basically coming to you, Kevin, and saying, okay, you can get YouTube TV. And if you get the ticket or just get the ticket, you can only use it on two devices in your house, which means if you have it on one TV, you can have it on another TV. But if you have it on your laptop out with you, you can't use it, which I was never really even factoring in or paying attention to. It probably still wouldn't matter to me. But the fact that they lifted that, you can use it on as many devices in your house as you want. Man, thank you. Because I'm telling you right now, if I didn't know that, I still would have bought it anyway, because there's no other way to get around it. But you got to be kidding me. With so many people with, iPads and, tablets and computers and TVs, hey, I want to get five games up at once. No. You can only get two up. That would have been ridiculous. It really would have been. So I'm glad that they waived that, where you can use as many devices as you want in your house and put as many TV combinations as you want together. I'm looking forward to it, except when I start getting angry that is on such a delay and it's going to drive me nuts. I'm telling you. I'm hoping it doesn't factor in, because the Eagles, I don't buy it to watch the Eagles. Some people hey, you know what? I moved to San Francisco. I can't watch the Eagles games every week. That's why I get the ticket. I'm not going to do that. That's still going to be for the, you know, antenna so I can hang out on Twitter and get it as fast as I need it to be. But I love the fact that I was without last year, the direct ticket TV, because when I moved, I wasn't going to get the dish again. Thank God I got it back in my life, because that was kind of, it's kind of stressful last year not to have it.
You're never going, you are never going to be able to handle the delays, because I am someone that, like, I don't have cable, right? Like, I'm a streamer, if you will.
Yeah.
And I was scrolling Twitter the other day in between a timeout in the basketball game.
Yes.
And when I tell you that I was seeing, like, man, Eric Spoelstra waited too long to put Jimmy Butler back in the game, and the game went Celtics out of the timeout, score, Heat come down, don't score, Celtics come back down, score, timeout. And I hadn't seen any of that yet. I'm like, whoa. What's I got to be very, like, Don, when the end of games are on, I have to flip my phone over.
Yes, you do.
Because Shams loves to tweet out madness for no reason. He's the worst with that. Like, Shams a great reporter, but Shams loves the spoiler. You know what? Schefter does that. Like, if there's a kick going
right now.
Up at the
I'm
end of,
right
yeah,
now.
Go ahead, Donnie.
Because I'm glad you picked up Schefter to lead into that. I remember watching, and I want to say it may have been an NCAA championship game that came down to the wire. I can't remember which game it was. It was in the last 2 years, though, where I was watching from my bedroom, which is cable, which in my new place, it's actually even slower than I had in the last place. Not like getting the service, just the delay is a little bit longer on the TV. I was looking at Twitter, and Adam Schefter ruined the final shot of a game when I still had like 22 seconds in a TV timeout left. And I had to read it twice. Like, is he like guessing at this? And he wasn't. And I watched it play out. I'm like, you know what? I just can't do that anymore. So I feel you on that, where I was watching it off cable and Schefter burned me by about 30 seconds, which was amazing to what the final actually happened. It's terrible that that happens, and I still can't believe it does.
Like, but he would do it like those end of like the playoff, like an end of a football game that's going to come down to a kick at the last second. Like, he has the whole tweet drawn up and presses tweet, and it bangs your phone before they're even set up there. And it's like, oh, no. Can't have that. So the phone has to get flipped now. Only option.
Make
only
me
option.
Commissioner. Make me commissioner. No delay. No 8 seconds. No dump buttons out here. We're all going live. One more segment to go. Hour number two. Don't you leave us. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment here before we get out of here. Oh, yeah, hour number two. By the way, big barbecue weekend. Big barbecue guy, K-Dub. You guys fought that up back in Queens, or there's no real trees or any backyards. Is there where you lived?
I have a backyard. What are you talking?
You
know
do?
What? Let me see how I can tell this story in a way that I want to tell this. Someone asked me, what was it like growing up in Queens? Who I guess more so grew up in like a farm type area. And I said, you know, I was like, oh, it was great. Like, you kind of were able to walk around the neighborhood and everything like that. Yeah. You can go to the park. Hold on. I'm doing this for a reason. You can go to the park. Like, it's really great. Like, everything's in walking distance. Like, it's one thing that's way different kind of being out here in Jersey. And they're like, yeah, like mine. The person said my child was way different. Like, I couldn't imagine growing up in the city, is what they said to me. And I just, I had to let it go.
It's a real correct take.
But I was not happy about it.
I grew up in the suburbs. My wife grew up in the city. So there is a battle every once in a while that I want to stroke. It always happens where, did you guys just like, what were you guys in the street, like kicking cans around? I mean, that's where it starts. And that was the fun. What did you do in the city? And I would always be like, I think they just kick cans around, like, you know, from
you
street
so
to
crazy.
Street at this point here. And like, you know, it comes up next. Like, did you guys, like, did any of the like boys play sports? Like, there was no like, that's how, if you want to start a conversation in my house, just bring up what my wife did for fun. Now, granted, I'm sure there was plenty of things to do, but the fact that I always bring up, they like chase rats down the street or kick cans, hits a home run every time, K-Dub.
It's just so funny because you really were the first person that said to me like the idea of calling all of like the boroughs the city. Yes. And I like fought so hard against it, and like every person from Jersey just thinks it's all the city.
Exactly.
And it's just such a losing battle now. And I'm like, okay, all right, that's
the only people that don't know it's the actual city are the people actually living in that city. That's the way it's thought of. For Christian behind the wheels of steel, Donnie right side, Kevin Walsh, Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy it. We'll see you soon. Later.